I love that song. I love Christoph's song. All right, turn with me to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. I would like for us to look at another subject matter here that our Lord mentioned in this chapter in regard to his second coming. And when I read this one verse, it really got my attention. This really got my attention. Look at verse 14. Matthew 24, verse 14. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." You know what that makes me think? We need to get to preaching. We need to get to preaching. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We need to get to preaching. That makes me want to get to preaching this gospel unto all the world. Why, you ask? It's because I'm ready for him to come back. I'm ready for him to come back. Now, we cannot do anything to hurry that along. He is going to do that at his appointed time. He has an appointed set time that he will come back, and that's when he's coming back. But if he said he's not coming back until this gospel of the kingdom is preached unto all the world, that makes me want to get to preaching this gospel unto all the world. Because I am ready, meaning excited, for him to come back. Now, I want to say something for just a minute tonight, because not every person here is ready for that. Not every person here is ready for that, and that's okay. I kind of would like to get honest for just a minute on this subject. Not every person is ready for that, and that's okay. God's people are not morbid, and they don't desire death. We desire the Lord. We desire the Lord. We desire the Lord's return, not because we want to die. You hear people say, "I'm just ready for the Lord to come back. I'm just ready to go be with the Lord." We don't desire the Lord's return because we just want to die. I don't want to die at all. I don't want to die at all. It'd be fine with me if he just comes and just gets us. I want to live. I'm ready to leave this body and this world of death to go live. But I also have a desire to stay right here. I'm just being honest. I'm ready for the Lord to come back. I'm ready to go be with him. And I have a desire to just stay right here, all at the same time. And the thing is I know that most of you do too. Most of you do too. I would almost say all of you do too. We just announced two mothers who are carrying children. And believing mothers, I believe that both of these mothers desire Christ, desire the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have to answer this. I'm just going to tell you what I believe in my heart. I believe you're not ready for the end to come. And that's okay. That's okay. You have children to be born. Many of us still have young children at home. We have responsibilities. We have loved ones who need us. For me to say that I'm ready for the end to come and for the Lord to return, that does not mean I'm ready to leave my wife and my children. I'm not saying that at all. Even the Apostle Paul, who had already been to the third heaven, you think about this. He had already been there. Even the Apostle Paul said, I'm torn between the two. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But he said, I'm torn between leaving to be with Christ and staying here to be with you. And all of God's people can enter into that. And it's because we all have such a desire and a concern for the salvation of our loved ones. Paul said, it's needful for me to be here. It's needful for me to stay here. And we see it that way. We have such a desire and a concern for the salvation of our loved ones. Our Lord chose who He was going to save before the foundation of the world. Our Lord chose every single person that He was ever going to save before the foundation of the world. And He will make it clear who that is through the means of preaching the gospel. He will make it clear who He chose. As time goes on, and as the message goes out, this is why we're here. Number one, we're here to worship God. We're here to glorify God. We're here to praise Him, honor Him, say thank you to Him. And we're here to sow the seed of His word for the calling out of His sheep, the calling out of His people. As time goes on, as the message goes out, our Lord will call His chosen to Himself. And He will call all of them. He will call all of them. He will not leave one of them behind. He will not leave one soul behind. And He will not return before all of them are called. And we're thankful for that. Therefore, we're content to wait and let Him call all of His people. That is what causes me to be content, to just wait and just be here. If the Lord would call sheep and call sheep, wonderful. Call as many as you will, Lord. You just show mercy, show mercy. Turn with me over to 2 Peter 3. Second Peter 3, verse 1, it says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. They're going to, in the last days, are going to come men and women who scoff and mock the word of our Lord, the message of His truth, everything He's declared right here. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? He said, I'm coming back. He said, the end shall come. And they say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Things just keep going and going and going. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. They're willingly ignorant of the flood. God destroyed the whole world with a flood. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I think all the time about how concerned this planet is with global warming. They don't want anything to happen to the planet. You know, it's going to be global warming. And they are completely ignoring God's word that this place is going to burn up. This place is going to burn up. And I'm thankful for this earth. I'm thankful to live on this earth. But this earth is going to burn up, and it could be any time. Verse 8, he said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, his people, his elect. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and they will. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, which is Christ. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Verse 15 says, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. He said, concerning our Lord's return, concerning when the Lord comes back, he said, account, realize, know that the long suffering of the Lord, the patience of the Lord, the waiting of the Lord to return, he hasn't just come back and burned it up. The moment he comes back, it's burnt up. And the long suffering, patient waiting of the Lord to return, that is salvation. That is him saving his people. That is him calling his people. The end has not come yet because he still has more people to call. And if that's the case, we're happy to wait. We're happy to wait. This is a tough world to live in. It's a tough life to live. But if that is his will and his goodness to sinners, such as we are, then we're happy to wait. Save, Lord, save all that you will. Let it be us. Let it be our children. If God would save our children, our grandchildren, we have some in this congregation who have great grandchildren here, we'll wait. We'll wait. And in regard to living this life here while we wait, the Scripture says that our Lord has given us all things richly to enjoy. There are many enjoyable components to this life. You young people want to grow up and live life. I know you do. I did too. I used to think about that. When I was young, I used to think, I don't want the Lord to return. I'm not ready for the Lord to return. I wanted to grow up. I wanted to get married. I wanted to have a career. I wanted to have children. I wanted to raise those children. Grandchildren, it doesn't change. And that's okay. That's okay. But my prayer is that along the way, God will give all of us a heart for Christ. That's okay to feel that way. But I pray God will give us a heart for Christ and a desire for the coming of Christ, seeing the glory that is to come. Seeing the glory that He's promised of life in Him, life with Him. I pray He'll give us a happy anticipation. Hope is an expecting anticipation. That's what it is. I pray He'll give everybody here hope. Hope. A happy anticipation for the end of all sin. All the sin that taints the life that we've been given here. That is the end that we desire. The end of sin. We don't desire the end of relationships. Well, I'm just ready for the Lord to come back and I'll just sever all my relationships here. We don't desire the end of relationships. We don't desire the end of family. We don't desire the end of love. We don't desire the end of anything that originally our Lord said was very good. What we desire is the end of sin that ruined all of it. That's what we desire, the end of sin. In Christ, that's the only thing that's going to be gone. That's the only thing that will be removed in the end, is sin. God's people in Christ, they're not going to lose each other. We're not going to lose life. We're not going to lose love. We're not going to lose happiness. Only the sin that ruins those things. So if that's the case, let the end come. If that's all we're losing, then let the end come, the end of sin. Our Lord said, as soon as this gospel is preached unto all the world, the end of sin will come. Now, the end of the power of sin, the end of the penalty of sin, that's already come to God's people through the cross of Christ, on the cross of Calvary. The power of sin over God's people and the penalty of sin, that's already been dealt with. By His sacrifice and His death on the cross, He put all of that away. But the presence of sin is still with us. And it's because all of us had a lifetime of sin that either needs or needed, depending on how you're looking at this, it needed to be dealt with. And it was. But it was a whole lifetime of sin, and we're still living our lifetime. So as long as we're here, the presence of sin is still with us. But the moment Christ returns, the end will come. The end of the presence of sin. The end of a lifetime of soul ruining, body ruining, family ruining, happiness ruining, everything ruining, sin. The end. It'll come. The moment Christ returns, it'll all be over. And that's what causes me to desire His return. That's what I desire, the end of sin. If it's hard to understand, you know, you young people or anybody, if you hear this and you think, why do you want our Lord to come back so badly? It's because the moment He returns for God's people, and I'm talking about God's people here, the moment He returns for God's people, all of this sin will be over. It'll be the beginning of ruin and dread for those who are not God's people. Those who are outside of Christ, it'll be absolute terror. But for those who are God's people, it'll be the glorious end of all sin. Now, how can we know who is who? How can we know who is who? How can we know who God's people are and who this glorious end is for? Here's the answer. Here's how we can know. We preach the gospel. We preach the gospel. That's how we know who God's people are. We preach the gospel, and through the preaching of the gospel, God will make it clear. He will make it clear. How will God make it clear? Turn with me over to Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 15, it says, "And our Lord said to his disciples, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized," that word means immersed, "by God's Holy Spirit, into Christ," into that faith in Christ and faith on Christ. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not and is not immersed into faith," immersed into Christ, "shall be damned." He said that's how you'll know. You preach the gospel to them, and God's Spirit will make it clear who God's people are by creating faith in those who hear and look to and believe on and hope in only the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Only they'll look to and hope in only the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteousness and the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go into all the world and preach Christ. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're going to go to all the world and preach the gospel, starting with this town, if we're going to go to all of this town and preach the gospel, what are we going to preach? What is the gospel of the kingdom of God? Turn over to Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 2 here is in parentheses. That's inserted into the middle of a thought. We can read verse 1 and verse 3 right after that. Verse 1 says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." Verse 3 says, "concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." The gospel is concerning Jesus Christ our Lord, who came in the flesh and accomplished the salvation of his people by resurrection from the dead. That's the gospel. It's the accomplishment of Christ in saving his people from their sin by his own death, giving them life through his own death. Look quickly at Galatians 1. Galatians 1, verse 3. "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." That's the gospel. To preach the gospel is to preach that man, the accomplishment of that man in saving his people. Our Lord said, as soon as the accomplishment of Jesus Christ is preached unto all the world, and as soon as faith is given through that message, to all of God's elect people. And as soon as all of those people, as soon as that last soul, the last one, receives that faith and believes on Christ and looks to Him for all of that soul's eternal hope of salvation, He said, as soon as that happens, as soon as that look takes place, the end will come. And every soul who God calls us to desire that will cry, "Come quickly." Every soul that God calls us to see Christ and to desire Christ and sinlessness in Christ will cry, "Come quickly. I desire it, Lord, come quickly. I desire the end of sin. I desire a wonderful earth full of holy people wherein Christ dwells and sin never ruins anything ever again. I desire it." I've told you so many times, I'll just remind you that my mother, when she found out she had cancer, it was 11 months from the time she found out till the time the Lord called her. And from the moment I found out until the moment called her, I was scared to death. And I begged the Lord to heal her body. I mean, I begged God like I've never begged God in my life. It was continual. It was fervent. I was begging Him, "Please, if You would be willing, heal her body. Please, if You would be willing. I bow to Your sovereignty." God gave me the ability to say that. "I bow to Your sovereignty. I know You will do right, and I know You will do best. Thy will be done. But if You would be willing, please heal her body." And He was not willing. And I'm going to say this, but then I'm going to have to say, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. You know, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. But it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. I wouldn't be married to her. I wouldn't be the father of her. I wouldn't be the pastor of you. I know I would not. It changed everything for me. And I was scared to death and begging God for the opposite of what He did. And the reason is because it wasn't my time. And He had not made me ready yet. It was her time. It was clearly her time. Because at the end, 2 weeks before she was called home, she was sitting in her chair. I was sitting on the couch watching TV. She had a Bible in her lap. And all of a sudden, she just threw her head back, belly laughing. She just busted out laughing. That's the best memory. Oh, she was just laughing. And I looked at her and she tried to stop herself. And so I said, "What is it?" And she just shook her head no. And she just laughing over there and smiling. I said, "What is it?" She said, "Nope." I said, "Come on and tell me, what is it?" She cut her eyes at me and said, I'm getting excited. No more sin. I'm getting excited." Did she want to leave all of us? No, she didn't. She told us she didn't. But she was getting excited. It's okay to happily, patiently wait down here. It's okay. But it's also okay to get excited. Because the moment the message of this man goes out to all the world, it's all over. It's all over. And I'm getting excited. I believe that when the last sinner who was chosen to and elected to hears the message and the Spirit puts faith in that sinner and that sinner looks to Jesus Christ and it dawns on him, "It's not by my works, it's by Christ." this robe of flesh, we'll all drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. And we will all shout while passing through the air, "Farewell, sin." It's over. It's over. That's something to get excited about. Let's all go preach the gospel to all the world. Because the end will come. The end of sin, the end of sorrow. I'm ready. All right, let's all stand together.